You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom-targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. Thank you for joining me. Thanks for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. If you'd like to make an appointment, call us at the office, 212-779-1744, 212-779-1744. I am here to bring you compelling new information about health and wellness and nutrition. And one of the things that we need to pay more attention to is fraudulent research. And fraudulent research floods the nutrition field, corroding credibility. This is in one of my favorite digital publications, Holistic Primary Care. They do a really, really nice job of putting together these articles. The fact is that the proliferation of fraudulent clinical research has reached epidemic proportions. And this, of course, is creating a major headache for all of us practitioners. We know for a fact, Dr. Hoffman and I, that many of you will email us. And the email, by the way, is questions@drhoffman.net, questions.drhoffman@drhoffman.net. And you'll email us links to articles and then, what about this research? Oh my God, what's going on here? What do you think of this? Is this outrageous? What about the research that says vitamins are bad? You know, all of this. And we're left holding the bag to decipher all of this and bring some rationality and elucidate what's going on, you know, shine some light on the methodology, which may be flawed. Well, did you know that there were roughly 10,000 fraudulent papers retracted by medical journals last year? 10,000 last year alone. That's the highest number on record. And while the problem affects all areas of medicine, apparently the field of nutrition is particularly vulnerable. Now, you know that good medical practice is based on trust, right? And patients will often trust their practitioners. They'll trust that they're knowledgeable, that they put their knowledge in service of their patient's best interests. That's what we do. That's what we try to do. And in turn, we need to be able to trust that clinical researchers run their studies honestly and that the editors and peer reviewers of the medical and nutritional journals carefully scrutinize the papers that they receive, sift out the garbage, and only publish studies that pass clinical, statistical, as well as ethical muster. So research is in itself a trust proposition. From the lead investigators who design the trials, and the institutional review boards, the IRBs that approve them, to the research assistants and the postdoctoral fellows who crunch the data, and the authors who write and submit the papers for publication, there's a thread of trust that depends on the right people doing the right things at each point along this path, right? And that's how it ought to be. But the hard truth is, this is not an ideal world when it comes to this. And it's an open secret that medical research fraud is rampant. It really, really is. There was a recent article in The Guardian estimated that last year there were more than 10,000 fraudulent papers retracted by journals across the sciences, and that is the across the sciences, and that's the highest number of retractions that were ever recorded, 10,000. And according to Holistic Primary Care and Dr. Alan Gaby, this is likely just the surface layer of the problem. Dr. Alan Gaby, and both Dr. Hoffman and I are huge fans and followers of his. He's the author's book. It's a great big tome called Nutritional Medicine. And Dr. Gaby has read and reviewed tens of thousands of nutrition papers over the years. And quote, several hundred papers per year raise questions about whether the research is legitimate. So research fraud is widespread across many domains of healthcare, but it's especially problematic in the field of nutrition, according to Dr. Alan Gaby. He's a holistic physician. And if you've not heard of him, he was a regular contributor also to the Townsend Letter, which was a wonderful, wonderful journal. So now in its third edition, the book, the massive textbook that he wrote, Nutritional Medicine, it's now in its third edition. And Dr. Gaby's book contains nearly 17,000 research citations and covering the use of herbs and nutraceuticals for more than 400 specific health conditions. And suffice it to say that Dr. Gaby has probably read more clinical research papers on nutrition than anyone on the planet. And that's why this huge tome that sits in Dr. Hoffman's office, I'm always pulling it to use it as a reference. We both use it as a reference often. It's a wonderful, wonderful textbook. Now, Dr. Gaby contends that the problem of nutritional fraud, research fraud, has reached epidemic proportions. Over the last 50 years, he says, I've probably reviewed about 50,000 papers. And about 15 years ago, he says, I became aware of some irregularities in a lot of the research. A growing number of papers left me wondering if the research had actually been done at all, or if the data were simply fabricated. So fraudulent research corrodes the public trust, it misleads clinicians, and it skews meta-analyses. I mean, this is often the research that your doctor is saying, but no, it's all about cholesterol and heart disease, when there's so much more to it than that, that your practitioner is not aware of, you know. Anyway, so once marketers and salespeople, they get a hold of this fraudulent stuff, they can easily turn it into dishonest and misleading product claims. And at a minimum, ordinary people get ripped off. And at the extreme, people could really get hurt. Dr. Gaby says the number of suspicious or at least highly questionable papers has surged dramatically in recent years, in part due to the growth of open access publishing and the proliferation of small, poorly refereed open access journals and websites, some of which are pay-for-play operations. Consumer lab, anyone? Anyway, but open access is only part of the problem. Dr. Gaby says he's seen numerous instances in which dubious nutrition studies have appeared in venerable, high impact, meaning widely cited, conventional medical journals. Several hundred papers per year, he says, in my view, raise questions about whether the research is legitimate. Gaby stressed that it is difficult and time-consuming to prove definitively that a published paper is fraudulent. Hey, and by the way, just because something is published doesn't mean it's true. We know this, right? It's not. There are an alarming number of studies that simply do not hold up to careful scrutiny. And when this happens in respective peer-reviewed journals, as it sometimes does, as much as 10,000 last year, it suggests that peer reviewers are failing to do their jobs, or they're turning a blind eye to shoddy work. So Dr. Gaby published his concerns in an excellent 2002 article in Integrative Medicine, a clinician's journal, and in lectures as well as webinars that he does. So Alan Gaby is not the only physician who's ringing these alarm bells. A few years ago, a team of researchers based in New Zealand called out two prominent Japanese investigators, Yoshihiro Sato and Yun Iwamoto, claiming that nearly 300 of their published papers in 78 medical journals had major methodological flaws, ethical lapses, and signs of fabrication. Sato, who died in 2017, and Iwamoto were both prominent professors at Japanese universities. Their work was primarily focused on bone metabolism, and they published many studies looking at the effects of vitamin D, vitamin K, and folate. They also studied prescription drugs like methylprednisolone, hormone replacement therapy, and valproic acid. And some of their research extended into fields like neurology and gastroenterology. Studies by Sato and Iwamoto have appeared in some of the world's top journals, including the Journal of the American Medical Association, Neurology, and the Journal of Bone and Mineral Metabolism. The saga began in the year 2006 when biochemist Allison Avenel, the chair of health services research at the University of Aberdeen in Scotland, was delving into the question of whether vitamin D could reduce bone fractures. While plumbing the literature, she came across two studies by Sato. One involved a cohort of stroke patients and the other patients with Parkinson's. Avenel noticed that in both studies, the patient populations had exactly the same mean body mass indexes. That, she thought, was statistically unlikely. She started digging more deeply, and the more she looked, the more anomalies she found. Unreasonably large treatment effects, unusually large patient populations, plagiarized text, numbers that simply didn't add up. And soon after, Avenel teamed up with Andrew Gray, Mark Boland, Greg Gamble of the University of Auckland, New Zealand, and the team undertook an exhaustive review of 292 papers published by Sato alone or in partnership with Iwamoto. In 2016, this team published an in-depth takedown of 33 studies by Sato, Iwamoto, or both. They notified 78 journals that most, if not all, of the nearly 300 papers published by these two researchers were flawed at best and fraudulent at worst. The ensuing drama, well chronicled by the American Association for the Advancement of Science's journal Science, ultimately resulted in retractions of 121 studies, 3 corrections, and 12 editorial expressions of concern. And that's journal speak for, quote, "We question a study's validity, but don't have a solid enough case to retract it. Now, not long before he died, Sato admitted that he falsified research and absolved Iwamoto of any direct responsibility. The so-called Sato affair is one of the biggest legacies of medical research fraud in history. And according to Retraction Watch, Sato and Iwamoto hold the 4th and 6th places for highest number of papers retracted worldwide. So who's number one, you're probably wondering? That honor belongs to Joachim Bolt, a German anesthesiologist and ICU physician who's had a stunning 194 of his published papers retracted because of data fabrication and lack of ethics board approval. So, with fraudulent research on the rise across the medical landscape and peer review boards apparently faltering, practitioners need to sharpen their critical thinking skills when reading clinical studies. But you don't need to become a statistician. Dr. Gaby says, several hundred papers per year, in my view, raise questions about whether the research is legitimate. And over the years, Dr. Gaby has identified 10 red flag warning signs that raise the index of suspicion about misconduct or outright fraud. Let's go through these. Number one, implausibly prolific research output by a single researcher. A clinical researcher typically completes and publishes 3 to 4 large randomized double-blind controlled trials in a period of 5 or 10 years. Yet some researchers publish 10, 20, even 30 papers in that time span. Dr. Gaby says, whenever you see implausibly large research output, it makes you wonder how could they have possibly done all of that research? Next, implausibly large patient cohorts. Gaby says that over time, people who read a lot of studies develop a sense of how many people could be reasonably enrolled in a given trial, based in part on a number of researchers and clinics involved, the size of those clinics, their catchment areas, general prevalence of the disease in question, and the stringency of inclusion or exclusion criteria. In some nutrition studies, a lone researcher claims to have a trial population far larger than one could reasonably expect, even in a multi-center study, let alone a trial at a single clinic. Next, unusually short recruitment time. Recruiting patients for legitimate clinical studies, it's not easy. Nor is it swift. It takes a lot of outreach, effort, and resources. If a study claims to have recruited hundreds of people with a particular disorder in a 3-month period, and they all met strict inclusion criteria, you should be suspicious. Next, rapid submission and publication. Most studies disclose the time period for patient recruitment and the duration of treatment lasted, and from that you can estimate the earliest possible date of completion. Dr. Gaby says he sometimes sees studies in the nutritional literature that were submitted for publication very soon after it would be possible to complete the trial, based on the schedule described in the text. He says, quote, "In some cases we've seen papers that were submitted before it was possible to have completed the trial. In many other cases, only a few weeks to a month after the trial could have been completed. That's also implausible because in a real study, it takes a very long time to analyze data, to write the paper, and then to submit it. Here. Next, a randomized control trial before there is preliminary evidence of efficacy. Real clinical trials are costly. Few funding resources are likely to underwrite that cost without some compelling preliminary evidence from case reports, open-label uncontrolled trials, or pilot studies showing that the intervention in question might be beneficial. Yet in the nutrition and botanical literature, there are many alleged randomized controlled trials done without such preliminary evidence. Next, effect sizes larger than one would expect from nutrients. Quote, if you read a lot of medical literature, you start to get a general idea of how effective nutrients are. Sometimes it's dramatic, but most of the time, it's not. Usually, the combination of nutrients producing a moderate effect, says Dr. Gaby. Yet, in many of the studies he's looked at, there were much larger effects. Effect sizes you usually only get from drugs, so that raises eyebrows. Next, no funding source is listed, or the study is self-funded. This is particularly important when researchers describe their studies as randomized controlled trials. Real RCTs are very expensive. Nobody's funding it? One has to wonder how the study was possible. And if funding the sources are not openly stated, you need to wonder why. Next, the trial design raises ethical issues. If a study involves patients with serious advanced disease and they're randomized to either a nutrient or a placebo, there's likely an ethical problem. That's because clinical research is still in the domain of patient care, and doctors have a responsibility to treat people with the best available therapies, whether natural medicine advocates like it or not. Best available treatments for serious diseases are usually prescription drugs. If researchers intentionally withhold a viable drug option in order to test a nutrient against a placebo, they're treading on shaky ethical grounds. Next, implausible patient characteristics. Pay close attention to the stated inclusion and exclusion criteria, especially the age range and baseline characteristics. Dr. Gaby says he sometimes sees papers that indicate a particular age range for inclusion. When he looks at the mean ages and the standard deviations in the results, it would be mathematically impossible that all participants actually met the stated age criteria. And lastly, a large study, especially a randomized control trial authored by a grad student. Grad students are the unsung heroes of clinical research. And while they certainly deserve credit for their efforts, the reality of academic hierarchies is that they are seldom lead investigators, especially on big trials. Yet, in the nutrition literature, one will often see big studies authored by a grad student or junior researcher, sometimes as the sole investigator. While this is not a universally damning indicator, it should raise the index of suspicion a bit, especially a bit of red flags. Dr. Gaby does such a great job on explaining all of this, and this is why any headline, any clickbait, anything offered in the news media as research, you really should approach with not just a grain of salt, but many. I want to thank you on joining me for another edition of Layla Weighs In.
I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover intelligent medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.